The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 22, text number 4, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on May 14th, 2008, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 2, Prithu Maharaja's meeting with the Kumaras, text number 4. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Garavadyantrita sabhya.
Garavadyantrita sabhya.
Pashrayanatta kandara. Virivat pujayam chakre. Grahita dharyanasanam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When the great sages accepted their reception according to the instructions of the Shastras and finally took their seats offered by the king, influenced by the glories of the sages, immediately bowed down. Thus he worshipped the four Kumaras. The four Kumaras are parampara spiritual masters of the Vaishnava Sampradaya. Out of the four Sampradayas, namely Brahma Sampradaya, Sri Sampradaya, Kumara Sampradaya, and Rudra Sampradaya, the disciplic succession of spiritual master to disciple, known as the Kumara Sampradaya, is coming down from the four Kumaras. So Prithu Maharaj was very respectful to the Sampradaya Acharyas. As it is said by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Sakshad Dari Tvena Samasta Shastrai. A spiritual master or the Parampara Acharya should be respected exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word vidivat is significant in this verse. This means that Prithu Maharaj also strictly followed the injunctions of the Shastra in receiving a spiritual master or acharya of the transcendental disciplic succession. Whenever an acharya is seen, one should immediately bow down before him. Prithu Maharaj did this properly, therefore the words used here are Pashrayanatta Kandaraha. Out of humility, he bowed down before the Kumaras.
Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Dam Sajiva Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitam Shah.
So, not only are the four Kumaras acharyas, Prithvi Maharaj is also, he is an ideal example of Krishna consciousness. Because as soon as he is seeing his spiritual master, he is immediately bowing down. As it is explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the spiritual master should be respected exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes people do not understand why a human being should be given so much respect. They're bewildered by this. I was with His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada many years ago. In 1972, in New Vrindavan, West Virginia, USA. It was on his Vyasa Puja day. And many media people had come there. The New York Times had come. And there was many media people there to cover this event. Media. Newspapers. So Prabhupada knew they would not understand why a human being can be so much worship like God. So he gave some explanation to help them relate to what was going on. He explained how during the British rule of India, there was one man, he was called the Viceroy. In other words, the king, he stays in London. But Viceroy, literally vice means like vice president, like the assistant king. He is a royal assistant. He is called the Viceroy. And the Viceroy, he remains in India to rule India on behalf of the king. Whenever the Viceroy would come, he would be given the same exact honor that would be given to the king. Because he's the representative of the king in India. And whatever gifts are given to the Viceroy, he does not personally keep them. He sends them all to the Royal Treasury in London. So in this way, the spiritual master, he doesn't personally accept the worship that's given to him. But he accepts that on behalf of Krishna. Shishi Nitai Gaurachandra ki jai, Shishi Radhadamadar ki jai. So, in this way, the spiritual master is not proudly thinking that I am worthy of being worshipped. As I mentioned the other day, when Prabhupada was first given a Vyasa-san to sit on in Los Angeles, he started crying and said, I am not fit for sitting on this asana. But I am doing so on behalf of my Guru Maharaj. So this is the mood of the acharyas. They feel themselves completely incompetent and unfit to accept such worship. But they do so as a duty so that the disciples have the opportunity to connect with Krishna through the parampara system. Of course, nowadays it's very easy to find gurus who think they are worthy of being worshipped. They are called the bogus gurus. They are very interested in wealth, women, and followers. But Lord Chaitanya said, "Na danam, na janam, na sundarim." I have no desire for wealth. I have no desire to be surrounded by beautiful women. I have no desire for accumulating a large number of followers. I don't even desire to be liberated from the cycle of birth and death. The only thing I want is service. Give me unlimited devotional service. So Lord Chaitanya is showing the proper mood for an acharya to have. No material desires. All material desires, zero. There's even 1% of material desires, you see, that contaminates everything. It's like you may have some nice sweet rice. But if there's some little drop of poison in the sweet rice, then the whole thing is ruined. Even a little drop of poison spoils the whole thing. So even if there's a slight little tinge of material desire, it spoils everything. So the acharyas, therefore, they have to be pure devotees. They have to be they have to free their hearts completely of all material desires. That's the meaning of acharya, completely free of all material desires. So such persons, we offer them all respect. Whenever we see them, immediately we bow down before them. In this way, by worshipping the acharyas, we make advancement. Because it's only by their mercy, actually, that we can make any advancement. On our own, we do not have the strength to conquer these senses. This is what Arjuna said. That to conquer this rascal mind of mine is more difficult than to conquer the raging wind. So these senses are like them. I don't think you have here in Europe, but in the US they have what are called tornadoes. Very powerful whirlwinds. They can come through a city and completely destroy the whole city, just tear all the buildings apart. They can take a house and lift it up off the ground. The whole house is lifted up into the air and throw it. The whole house with all the people inside the house. Tornado is a very, very dangerous thing. When a tornado is coming, they make a warning. Everyone go for shelter. Tornado is coming. Tornado is coming. So, this mind, these material senses, they are like tornado. On our own, what you can do to conquer the tornado of the mind and the senses? It's not possible. But if one completely surrenders to a bona fide spiritual master, then one can conquer these raging senses and raging mind. Therefore, it is enjoined in the scriptures. Tadviganartam sagurumeva bigatschat. If you want to realize the the highest truth, you must take Sharva bona fide spiritual master. It is imperative. It is not option. As long as we remain independent of the spiritual master, our senses will remain uncontrolled. And it's not that simply by getting initiated now automatically my senses are controlled. After initiation, the disciple must accept the orders of the spiritual master as his very life and soul. He should not act independently of his spiritual master's desires. He should do everything for the pleasure of his spiritual master. In this way, by the mercy of the spiritual master, the disciple becomes purified. He becomes free of his anxiety and his illusion. So if we follow the example of Prithu Maharaj, by immediately bowing down when we see an acharya, by getting initiated by the acharya, and by following the instructions of the acharya, then our lives will become perfect. And the whole world will become liberated if we can, everyone can follow this system. But if they don't, at least we'll be liberated. No more taking birth again. Punar janmana vidyate. Not taking birth again in this material world. So as soon as one has the opportunity to take shelter of the acharya, one should not postpone that opportunity. Because we can die at any minute. Do you think that because you're a young person you will live forever? Actually, that is called the intoxication of youth. The intoxication of youth. Young people are deluded into thinking they will live forever. But as it is stated, time and tide wait for no man. This body can be finished at any minute. This is what was explained by Maharaj Yudhisthira to Yamaraj. Do you know that story? That Yamaraj, he asked Maharaj Yudhisthira, what is the most wonderful thing in this world? Do you know that story? What is the most amazing thing in this world? Maharaj Yudhisthira very wisely replied, Ahani ahani bhutani ganchantiya yamalayam shesha stavramichchami kimmascharyamatahaparam. That at every moment, countless numbers of living entities are being dragged helplessly to the court of Yamaraj. But those who are remaining here in this world, they are thinking, not me. I will live forever. There is nothing more wonderful than this. So we should not be deluded into thinking like that. That we can postpone surrendering to the acharya. We should not postpone. If we have not taken initiation yet, we should be very eager to get it as soon as possible. And if we are initiated, we should be very dedicated to serving the spiritual master's orders. The whatever instruction he has given me, I must carry it out. We must be very dedicated to pleasing our spiritual master. In this way, Mahajano Yena Gatasapanta. In this way, we will be able to follow very nicely the pathway of the great acharyas. Our lives will become perfect. All anxieties will go away from the heart. And we will be swimming in an ocean of unlimited bliss at every minute. Do you want anxiety or do you want nectar? You see, you have to decide, do you want anxiety or do you want nectar? If you want anxiety, then don't surrender to the acharya. I'm telling you, if you like anxiety, do not surrender to the acharya. But if you want to become free of all anxiety, then you must fully surrender yourself to the acharya. There's no other way to do it. You can't do it by money. You can't do it by good looks. You can't do it by popularity. You can't do it by having a good intelligence. You can't do it by being a good speaker. You can't do it by being a good guitar player. There's only one way to become free of anxiety. You have to fully surrender to a bona fide spiritual master. That's the only solution. This process works. If you will take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and totally dedicate yourself to him, I guarantee you that your deathlessness will begin from the very moment when you take initiation. All you have to do is get initiated by a bona fide acharya, be completely chaste in your relationship with him. My only desire is to please my guru. I have no other desire. If one takes this mood, they've already achieved immortality at that very moment of initiation. This Saturday I'll be initiating some disciples. This Sunday, I mean to say, on the auspicious day of Nisshinga Chaturdasi, I'll be initiating some more disciples here. So this will be a very, very auspicious turning point in the lives of these devotees. I encourage everyone to follow their example and get initiated. And those who are already initiated, you should reaffirm your commitment to always pleasing your spiritual master by every thought, word, and deed. So, I can ask now if there's some questions.
Srila Gurudev, it is said that Krishna knows all the future. Does it mean that he knows whether or not we will become pure devotees?
Why not?
Sakoma, kad Krishna žino ateitį. Ir ar žino, kuris iš mūsų taps asidavus ar ne?
Actually, everyone will become a pure devotee eventually.
Iš tikrųjų, galiausiai kiekvienas tapsime asidavus.
That is the ultimate destination of every living entity, to become a pure devotee.
Ir kiekvienos gyvos būtybės yra toks jau galinė stotelė.
Because that is, we are all actually originally pure devotees.
Iš prigimties mes visi esame tie atsidavusieji.
Similarly, some of us have become fallen sick, that's all. But eventually the sick people, they will all recover from their sickness. But how soon that will happen, that's up to you. If you want to recover immediately, you can recover immediately. You simply have to surrender to the Acharya, that's all. Seeing him as being non-different from Krishna. You have to totally give yourself to him. I remember when I was a new bhakta living in the Brahmachari ashram, checking out this Hare Krishna movement. And one day we were coming back from Sankirtan, and His Holiness Vishnujana Maharaj, we were in the van, and Vishnujana Maharaj, he told me something that just absolutely amazed me. I was actually shocked. He said, "You have to accept Srila Prabhupada as good as God." But I thought about it and I realized, yes, it's actually true. You have to take the spiritual master as good as if he was God Himself standing in front of you. That's the proper mood for the disciple. Any other questions?
What should be the questions of the disciple to his guru? What do not disturb him?
The best question is, Guru Maharaj, how can I serve you? What can I do to give you unlimited pleasure? That's always the best thing. That's the only question that Srila Prabhupada had of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. No other question is, how can I serve you? He wrote him a letter, actually. Shortly before Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur disappeared from this world, he said, "My dear Guru Maharaj, I was not able to serve you so nicely. I was a householder. I wasn't living in the ashrams. Kindly tell me what service I can do to please you." And Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur replied that if you preach, you must preach this Krishna consciousness to the English-speaking world. So you ask the spiritual master, how can I serve you? What should be my goal in life? What is my mission? What's the purpose of my existence? How should I totally engage myself in your service? Any other questions?
Is there any possibility of advancement if we do not accept an initiating spiritual master, but we accept an instructing spiritual master that is in parampara and follow his instruction?
Prabhupada explains that Krishna, in the nectar devotion, that actually without initiation, the connection is not even made. If you don't take diksha, you'll be restricted, and you can't achieve pure bhakti without diksha. The only advancement you can make before diksha is to advance to the point of getting diksha. You may know that there's different stages of bhakti. Shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya, anartanaviti, Nishta, Ruchi, Asakti, Bhava, and Prem. So, that Diksha, that is Bhajana Kriya. If you don't take Diksha, you remain at the level of Sadhu Sangha. You can't go beyond Sadhu Sangha level. You'll never achieve Bhajana Kriya, you'll never get Nishta, you'll never get Ruchi, you'll never get Asakti, you'll never get Prem Bhava, you'll never get Prem. So you think it's a very smart thing not to take initiation? It's a foolish thing. Extremely stupid thing to do. Means you don't understand Siddhanta. It's pride, actually. False pride. One, therefore, should take, become humble. And surrender oneself fully at the lotus feet of the Acharya. You'll be glad you did. You think, why did I postpone this so long? When you actually come to the point of doing that, you go, wow, I was such a fool, I waited so long to do this. But, as Prabhupada said, better late than never. It's not too late. Next question.
What about such a person that has a very bad karma and he cannot perform devotional service nicely? For example, an invalid or someone who has no association with devotees, and that person, he doesn't feel any spiritual happiness. So what are the chances of such a person? Can he go back home to Godhead? Or
if he wants to surrender to God, God will facilitate him. You think God is powerless? He can arrange anything for anybody. He's not, God is not limited by anything of this world. Ye yata mang prapadyante tang stataya vajam yaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So there's full facility for every single jiva throughout all of this existence. Everyone has full facility. It's simply a matter of their desire. Do they want to surrender to God or not? That's all. If they want to surrender, Krishna will arrange. This is confirmed by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Such jana dur jana pangu jada anagana prema vanyaya duvaila jagatara jana. So it doesn't matter if you're lame, if you're invalid or blind. It's stated directly in the scriptures. Even an invalid person, even a blind person, everyone will be drowned in this ocean of Chaitanya's mercy. You see. So you cannot say, well, he's invalid. No. Krishna Das Kaviraj said, no, it doesn't matter if he's invalid. He still can get this mercy. This is stated by our acharyas. Even the invalid person, he can get this mercy. So we should not think otherwise. It's confirmed by the acharyas. Any other questions? Yes. I don't understand the question.
The question is this, like sometimes we see the devotees who are initiated who do not practice, and when we talk about...
They wonder how others can... not.
Yes.
What's the question though?
The question is...
That's a statement.
Then we were thinking about giving to invalid.
Huh? Apani achari prabhu jivere sikaya. One should first practice and then preach. Questions more?
What is humility and how to become humble?
There's only one way you're going to become humble. And that's you have to surrender yourself to the acharya. If you think you can become humble on your own, then you're proud. The only way is completely surrender yourself to the acharya. Otherwise, you'll always remain puffed up. Nitai Gaurachandra ki jai, Shishi Radhadamanar ki jai. So, this you must do. You must fully surrender to the acharya. Then Gurudev, now I am yours. I'm simply a puppet in your hands. Now you pull the strings as you like. Then you are humble. But if you think, well, I will develop humility on my own. I will develop qualities of humility. You'll never do it. Because you're thinking that you can do it. It's only by completely making yourself a puppet in the hands of the spiritual master, only then can you become humble. Do you understand this? Yes. Now you must do this. This is how you become truly humble. And you become totally happy. All your anxieties will be gone forever. Next question. Yes?
There is another saintly quality, patience. What about this? How to develop it?
So, how to develop patience? Patience means you cannot expect instant results. Srila Prabhupada gives example. A woman gets married. She wants to have a child. Now she is married, and the next morning after her marriage, can she complain to her husband, "My dear husband, what sort of nonsense husband are you? I've been married with you for 24 hours, I do not have a child." She should know that now she is a married woman, she, in due course she will have a child. That is natural. But she has to be patient, that's all. So one should know, now I have a spiritual master. I have surrendered my life to him. So in due course of time, I will fully realize Krishna. It is guaranteed. I should not say, Guru Maharaj, what kind of guru you are you? I took diksha and I haven't seen Krishna yet. You have to be patient. You simply serve your spiritual master faithfully with your every thought, with your every word, and with your every deed in all times, places, and circumstances. And I can guarantee you, Mataji, you will actually come to the point you will see Krishna directly, face to face, eye to eye. Next question.
If a person who has taken initiation, later he cannot follow the vows, and what happens also to the spiritual master?
Oh, that's a very bad thing. Spiritual master is obliged to take birth again to save such a disciple. So don't torture your spiritual master. I don't know who this is, but that person should not torture their spiritual master by disobeying his instructions. Can you imagine being so ungrateful that I force my spiritual master to take birth again in this world? One must obey the order of the spiritual master. One does not obey it. He's not even a human being if he doesn't obey his spiritual master. He's animal. A human being, he gives his promise, he keeps his promise. That I have taken a vow to chant 16 rounds and follow these principles. So no matter what may happen to me, throughout my whole life, I will always chant 16 rounds and follow these four principles. If he cannot do that, he's casting himself into hell, and he's forcing his spiritual master to go through hell also. So, if one is in that position, they should beg their spiritual master. They should contact their guru and say, Guru Maharaj, I've fallen down. Please save me. Please help me. The spiritual master sees his disciples as his beloved children. If one approaches the spiritual master in that helpless condition, he will definitely bestow great mercy upon you. So whoever that person may be, they should approach their spiritual master and beg him to save them from their fallen position. Any other questions? Yes.
When someone goes back to Godhead by surrendering to the spiritual master, then what is the relationship when he goes there to the spiritual world?
Disciple of the spiritual master. That's confirmed by Prabhupada. I don't know if it's in this canto, but in the first canto of Bhagavatam, first canto, volume 1, it's stated on the front page, The spiritual master lives forever by his divine instructions, and the disciple lives with him. So your spiritual master is your eternal father. Yes, it's stated right here. If you look in the first canto, part one of the Bhagavatam. Yes. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So one should take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master by initiation and totally give your heart to him. Never deviate from his service. And then you will live with him for all of eternity. Next question. Yes.
Yesterday we were talking that if someone takes spiritual master, but then he doesn't follow the instructions, he doesn't achieve spiritual perfection. So what does the spiritual master do then?
It's described how the spiritual master has to take birth again to save that disciple. There's an example of that. There was one devotee, he had achieved the bhava stage in his previous life. His spiritual master's name was Somagiri. But he didn't quite achieve perfection. And in his next life, he took birth as in a rich family. But in a rich family, you know, there is so much money and sense gratification available. So he became what we call in English, I don't know what you say, in English it's called playboy. Womanizer, you see. So he had a prostitute girlfriend. Her name was Chintamani. And he was very, very much loved to, fond of his prostitute girlfriend, Chintamani. He would go to her, even in, if it was very difficult situations, he would do all austerities just to go to enjoy with this girlfriend. One night it was raining, very fierce storm, you see. The creek between his house and Chintamani's house became swollen. It was a big flood. But he was so lusty to enjoy with Chintamani. He went out into the storm. And it was the dark night. He couldn't see anything. But became a raging river, you see. So he said, somehow I must get to Chintamani. So he grabbed a hold of what he thought was a log to float across the river. But actually it was a corpse. He used a dead body to float across the river. So contaminated thing, but he didn't care. I have to get to Chintamani. And then he got to her house, and there was a wall outside. The gate was locked, and because of the thunder, she couldn't hear him knocking on the door. So he said, oh, here's some vine. I will claw up the vine and get over the wall to get to Chintamani. But actually, it was snake. But he didn't care. He just somehow, I have to get Chintamani. And when he finally got to Chintamani's bedside, she said, Bibha Mangala, why are you so foolish? If you were this devoted to Krishna as you are to this body, this female body of mine, you see, you'd be a pure devotee by now. So he came to his senses and realized what a fool he had been. You know who Chintamani was? It was his spiritual master from his previous lifetime. So don't force your guru to become a prostitute to save you from illicit sex. Isn't that a horrible thing? I'm going to force my guru to become a prostitute. So anyway, I'll tell you the rest of the story. He headed out for Vrindavan. Now I'm going to give up this lusty life of being a playboy. I'm going to stop lusting after women now. I'm just going to become a pure devotee. But on his way to Vrindavan, he saw a beautiful Shudra woman walking home on her way to, way back to her hut. So he followed that woman to her hut. These were the days of Vedic culture. The Brahmins were highly respected. So when he arrived at the hut, her husband was there. The husband said, "Oh, I'm so honored a Brahmana has come to my humble home. Please come in, allow me to serve you in any way. Can I massage your feet? Can I serve you? Can I feed you? Whatever service I can do for you, I'm so honored a Brahmana has come to my home. Just tell me whatever you want, I will give you whatever you want." And Vilva Mangala said, "Let me enjoy with your wife." And he said, "Whatever you want, you can have." He offered, "All right, you can enjoy with my wife." So Vilva Mangala approached her in the private quarters for enjoyment. But then again he came to his senses. And he said, "Mother, give me your hairpin." The hairpin, holding the hair, the sharp pin. And he went, and he put out his eyes. He blinded himself so that he would never again be carried away by the sight of a beautiful woman. And then somehow or other, in his blind state, he made it to Vrindavan. And he became a great pure devotee. He lived there for many hundreds of years in Vrindavan. And Krishna was so pleased that he would personally come to this great devotee. So this was the mercy that his Somagiri, Guru Maharaj, became this prostitute, Chintamani, to save him. But we should not put our Guru Maharaj through such things. We should become very dedicated to become a pure devotee in this lifetime. Any other questions? Yeah.
Practical question, and how is with the disciples of Srila Prabhupada who, after his disappearance, after his going away, they left the movement, left the practice?
They have to come back, that's all I can say. They have to come back. They shouldn't implicate Srila Prabhupada in their like this. They have to come back. Any other questions?
What kind of relationship in the society of devotees are most pleasing to the spiritual master?
Loving relationships. Love means service. That I want to serve the Vaishnava. If you say I love but there's no service, then it's love only, it's called lip service only, it's not real love. If there's real love, that means you're serving the Vaishnavas. You're so happy to serve the Vaishnavas. So the spiritual master wants to see the devotees are very much absorbed in serving Guru and serving Vaishnavas. That is Vaikuntha. Giving, always wanting to give service, give service, give service. Questions more?
What happens if there are more more disciples that are fallen, and how spiritual master can at the same time save them in their next life?
How will he do that? He has to. Spiritual master has to come back again in different forms, in different ways to save. Somehow or other, he has to do that. Yes. It's his obligation. He gives diksha. Of course, it's also described if one totally rejects the spiritual master, then he's not obligated.
Bet taip pat yra paminėta, kad jeigu žmogus mokinys visiškai atmeta dvasinį mokytą, tai mokytas nėra įsipareigojęs jį išgelbėti.
But if one is trying sincerely but having difficulty, then the spiritual master has to take birth again.
Bet jeigu žmogus stengiasi nuo širdžiai, bet jam sunku nepavyksta, tai dvasinis mokytas tada ateina padėti.
Jeigu iniciacija yra tokia svarbi, kaip mokytas sakė, tai kodėl kartais yra baktam patariama neskubėti tą prasme gyvenimą? Palaukti.
If initiation is so important, then why for a devotee sometimes it is preached that one should not be too fast to accept the initiation?
Too what?
Too fast.
Yeah, I was also warned like that.
Taip, aš taip pat buvau perspėtas.
The first day I chanted 16 rounds, I told Vishnu Janmaraj that now I wanted to surrender. I thought he would say, well, that's great. But I was surprised. He said, what I'm afraid of is easy come, easy go. So I had to prove to him that I wasn't easy come, easy go character, you see. And I did prove it to him. That's why he recommended me to Srila Prabhupada for initiation. So sometimes devotees are said, you know, one should take that as a special blessing to that one needs to prove to one's authority that one is really, really dedicated, not just some easy come, easy go sort of character. It's a test. One has to pass that test.
And what happens if meanwhile the death comes?
Huh?
Meanwhile the death comes.
The what?
Meanwhile. Death comes in.
Death.
Yes.
What if somebody wanted to get initiated and they left the body before they got initiated?
Yes.
Well, what we can do in that situation, I had that situation like that. There was one very sincere man. He was a former Catholic priest. He wanted to become my disciple. Now, you know, there's certain rules in ISKCON where you got a formal shelter and, you know, all these different rules for ISKCON. You have to wait a certain time, waiting period, you know. But this man was dying of cancer. So the temple president said, you can initiate him immediately. So I did that over the telephone. So if somebody's on their deathbed and, you know, they didn't quite meet all the normal requirements, we can bend the rules for them if they're on their deathbed. You know, it's not fanaticism, you know.
If you know if they are on the deathbed, what happens, accident or heart attack or some accident may happen.
Ah. That's why everybody should get initiated as soon as possible, because you never know when death will come. That's why I'm telling everybody in this room to get initiated as soon as possible. Don't postpone it. How many of you are initiated? How many of you are not initiated yet? Now you all should get initiated as soon as possible. Because you never know when death will come. Should approach the temple authority and say, I'd like to get initiated. Please guide me in such a way that as soon as possible I can get initiated. Krishna is also kind. If he knows you sincere, he can... Krishna is the ultimate one who decides when you leave your body. So it's in Krishna's hands. If you sincerely want to get initiated, Krishna will facilitate that. But at the same time, we should, from our side, we should be very eager to get it as soon as possible. Any other question?
What is the benefit of initiation if one accepts initiation and dies getting opportunity to practice?
If one gets initiated and then leaves the body right after the ceremony,
yeah.
You go back to Godhead. Now you've gotten your solid connection with Guru and you leave your... That'd be wonderful. You get initiated, get the beads, get the name, and then drop dead. Immediately you go back to home, back to Godhead. Wouldn't that be a great way to die? Right at the initiation ceremony. You get your name, get the beads, and then leave your body right in front of the deities. That'd be great. That'd be wonderful. Wow, what a way to go. Any other questions? Yeah.
What does it mean to give up the spiritual master?
It means death. Actually, it means worse than death.
But how to understand the concept?
Disobeying his instructions. If one does not obey the instructions one receives from the spiritual master, then that means you have rejected him, and it's a fate worse than death. Of course, everyone says, "Well, I love my spiritual master." And that's a nice sentiment. That you love your spiritual master. But actually, it's not love unless you obey his instructions. Love means obedience. That's the real meaning of love. If I actually love my spiritual master, that means I obey my spiritual master. If I don't obey him and I say that I love him, then it's not really love, it's just a sentiment. It's a nice sentiment, but it's not love, not real love. Any other questions? This is the last one.
what is the process of Lord Shri Krishna manifesting himself through the spiritual master? Because usually we are tended to see our spiritual master as a person, like as an ordinary person.
This is a very bad tendency. The disciples see the spiritual master as, oh, there's another one of the devotees.
Kaip Krishna pareiškia, išreiškia save per dvasinį mokytą, kokiu būdu, nes mes dažnai dvasinį mokytą laikom kaip paprastų žmogum, kaip...
Such a, that's, there's a saying, familiarity breeds contempt.
Yra posakis, perdėtas toksai artimumas, tai, sako, užteršia.
That's why it's advised not to get too close to the spiritual master, to stay at a distance. If one wants to be close to the spiritual master, then one should be constantly beating one's mind with shoes. This is not an ordinary person. This is the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. Krishna acts through him. Whatever instructions he is giving to you, those are being transmitted directly from Krishna. They are coming through the mouth of the spiritual master, that's all. Krishna is speaking to you, actually. He's using the spiritual master as his mouthpiece. If you think you're dealing with another conditioned soul, who's simply giving his opinion. Then you're a guru aparadhi. And you won't make any progress in spiritual life. So you have to always see that Krishna is speaking to me through the medium of my Guru Maharaj. Okay? Alright then, our time is up. Is that be a lecture here tonight? What's the evening program then?
Namahata for the young, for the youth.
Namahata. Oh, a Namahat program. So I don't know how big the, is it a house?
Here.
Oh, here. So everybody come tonight at the, what time, 6?
6:30.
Six. Be here at 6 o'clock tonight. Bring your friends. Bring your neighbors. Bring everybody that you can. Let's work together and save the world for Prabhupada's pleasure. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Grantharad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Das Adhikari Maharaj ki.
Yeah. Yeah.